Look at that first. First list only has three of them.
And then somebody want to read it? Gets their first Thessalonians 3:8.
I'll read.
Okay.
First Thessalonians 3:8. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord.
Okay. So kind of very brief and simple, but it's really beautiful. So and he's kind of referring back to verse 7. Do you want to read verse 7?
Yeah, sure. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith.
Okay. So Paul here is talking about the Thessalonians, and they've been going through these trials, and it was really tough on them. And he was really encouraged, he says in verse 7, about the Thessalonians, even though they had been going through great trials and testings, that they persevered. And he says something, to me, the most beautiful thing in verse 8, that I think helps us understand, or it's consistent with Romans 16, he goes, for now, another translation says, now we really live if you stand fast in the Lord. And so, the interesting thing about this is that some people, like, you would say, okay, how would you feel like you're really alive? And some people say, oh, if I'm skydiving out of a plane, or if I'm skiing, or if I'm bungee jumping off a bridge. So there's all these things. You know, people would say, wow, if I was doing this, oh man, that's really living. And, you know, and what, there's all type, which are, all those things are good. You know, it's fun to do all those things. You're camping out, you know, whatever you like to do. But to me, this was really encouraging in verse 8, because Paul said to him, when he's, as a leader in the church, serving God, he felt really alive, had real joy when the Christians in Thessalonica were persevering. And it's like, so it's like, it, again, it, so then this, I think, really ties into Romans 16. And so, but the point is when we serve the Lord, whatever we do, you know, if you're Sunday school teacher, or cleaning up, or witnessing, or reading the Bible, or praying. You know, it's like Paul saying, you're really living. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's to me, it's beautiful. So, you know, sometimes I get discouraged because sometimes I'm so busy, and I'll do some stuff, you know, for the church, and I say, wow, you know, I happen to do that, but I say, I'd like to do some of this other stuff. And eventually, you know, sometimes the busy times, they pass, and you get to do some things that are really fun. But in a sense, he's saying here, real life, real joy is found in building the kingdom of God and being with God's people. So I don't know, that was just really, really encouraging to me, and I want to share it before we went into Romans 16. So are there any comments on that before we skip? Okay, so let's look at Romans 16. So in here, we'll go ahead and read verses 1 to 15. And can Rebecca read maybe verse 1? Or?
Yeah,
it's a really difficult word.
Okay, great.
It's a really difficult word.
If I can have my granddaughter read a verse, that's all
right. I
come in.
Come in to give our sister Eve. Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at
that you receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well.
Greet Christa and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus.
Who risked their neck for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the church for the Gentile give thanks as well.
Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaminondas, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia.
Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you.
Greet you, Jonathan, and Junior, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before us.
Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord.
Greet Gerbernus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stike, my beloved.
Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus.
Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord.
Verse 12.
Greet those who work in the Lord. Tryphon? Trifina and Triphosa. Greet the beloved Percy, who had worked hard in the Lord.
Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine.
Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them.
Greet Philologus, Julia, Naeus, and his sister in Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them.
We'll just stop there. So, in this passage here, Paul mentions 24 different people, you know. And so, it's really beautiful to me to see, wow, this guy, Paul, he's just, has this wonderful relationship with all these people. But also, it's kind of interesting, too. So, of the 24 people here, these are people in the Church of Rome, and he never went to the Church of Rome. So, he wrote the book of Romans in Corinth about 57 A.D. And then, finally, in 63 A.D., he was in prison and went to Rome as a prisoner and ultimately died there. When he was there as a prisoner before he was martyred, he probably met some of the Christians in the Church of Rome because they visited him, but apparently he was kind of at house arrest. So some of these people he knew because apparently they traveled from Rome to Corinth or the other cities that he was in over the years because he had his three missionary journeys, and that some of them would come out. But the other people, I guess he knew about their testimony at the Church of Rome, from the people he talked with and all that. And some of it, I think, I can't really prove it, but I have this gut level feeling that the Holy Spirit, he'd hear about somebody and he just would have a sense in his heart and his spirit, wow, this brother is really going, beloved of the Lord, a choice man in God, really works hard for the Lord. So it's really, really beautiful. And you can just see Paul's, I mean, if we were writing a letter, I don't know how many of us could write a letter and mention 24 people, you know, we probably could in a sense. Oh, you know, Aunt Matilda, Aunt Isabel, Uncle Steve, or whatever. You could do that. But it's just really, really beautiful, all the connections that Paul had, all the relationship. And again, that to me, it's really beautiful in the church. As we walk with Jesus, as we lay down our life for the Lord and serve God, we can have relationship in the church with other people, and it's beautiful, and God does some beautiful things through all that. So in verse 1, he talks about Phoebe, our sister, and apparently she was going to the Church of Rome to do some business there, so she was going to be there a while. And I guess she had greatly served the church, I guess, where he was at, I guess of the church of Chancerea, which is near Corinth, the Corinthian church. And he says, hey, just when she's there, please receive her and the Lord in verse 1. You help her out. And we see, because it says, receive her in the Lord, worthy of the saints. So, yeah, so she has, okay. I guess she had helped Paul also. So this is really beautiful. And so, verse 2 says that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in any business she has need of you. And indeed, she is going to help her many and of myself also. So this lady, Phoebe, just was a great servant of the Lord. And again, as we look at all these people's mentioned here, we should encourage us saying, hey, God, help me have this type of testimony that I can be, when other Christians will think about me, will mention me, they'd have a good testimony of my life. Because that's where it's at. I think it's just a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. Now, Phoebe, that she had a pagan idol name, but she didn't change it. She just said, well, I'm saved, I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm, even though I got an idol-worshipping name, I'm just moving on. So that's kind of neat. And then again, he called her a servant, which is really beautiful that she just was happy to lay down her life for the church to help build the kingdom of God in the church of Caesarea near Corinth. So that's very, very beautiful. Okay, so looking at verses 3 and 4, this is really interesting with Priscilla and Aquila. And Paul says, you know, greet them in verse 3, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And so Paul had come in contact with them in Acts 18, 1 to 3, in a very interesting way. So they were in Rome. Apparently they had a tent-making business in Rome. And Claudius, who was the emperor at that time, he said, I've had it with all these Jewish people, and he kicked them all out. So they were all the Jewish people were kicked out of Rome, which included Priscilla and Aquila. And then so they went to Corinth, and in Acts 18, 1 to 3, guess who they come in contact with? Paul. And so they cultivated a relationship, and it's possibly that they got saved by Paul. Or they could have known him. They could have known the Lord before them. We don't know. But some people believe that they became Christians from Paul's influence. So it's hard to say. But they had this relationship. They knew each other, and it was great, you know, and God was behind it all. You know, he had the emperor said, okay, all the Jews out of Rome got to go. And then Priscilla went to Corinth and met Paul, and they became friends, and they served in the ministry together. So that's really neat. But then verse 4. Verse 4. Can somebody read verse 4 nice and loud?
And he was for my life, raised their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches, the Gentiles.
Right. So, again, so they were kicked out of Rome, and then they did this. Whatever this was, we don't know. But when we think about somebody risking their necks, anybody, what comes to your mind? If somebody risked their necks for your life? And they went out of the way to keep you from dying, you know. And so I guess whatever they did to help Paul, I guess they could have died, and Paul could have died, but God was gracious, and when they went out of the way to help Paul, you know, Paul was saved from death, and God preserved them. So very, very beautiful testimony here. And so, and Paul said, you know, he was grateful, and was there somebody else who was grateful? After Aquila and Priscilla risked their necks to help Paul, what's the next part of the verse? Other than Paul, was there somebody else who was grateful for them sticking out their necks? Anybody can say that? All the rest of the churches, you know. And so, and also for us too, because Paul wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament, so it could have been in Acts 19, there was this mob that had formed. They were all ready to kill Paul. And fortunately, the town clerk intervened from Paul getting killed. and maybe Aquila and Priscilla were there, we don't know, but they did something, that they risked their necks so that Paul wouldn't get killed, murdered, or whatever. So, very, very beautiful. And, you know, it's wonderful. So, any comments on the first four verses at this point? Or?
It's funny how NASB says Prisca.
Right.
Not Priscilla. But then I was looking at King James. Apparently, it is Priscilla.
They call it, yeah. I saw there's different ways to translate it, I guess. Oh. Yeah. So again, Paul brought Priscilla and Aquila, or God brought Priscilla and Aquila to Paul, and they were just wonderful servants of the Lord, and they had a church in their house, we see here, and it's in verse 5, it says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So, these are just great servants of the Lord, and beautiful. And later on in the book of Acts, too, they met Apollos, and he was the very zealous preacher of the gospel, but I think was only acquainted with the baptism of John. And so Aquila and Priscilla helped Apollos kind of improve his understanding of the gospel, and so he became very more effective for the Lord. So, just again, this is just a wonderful, wonderful couple. And so again, so when we, you know, this is the church, and this is what we're a part of right now. And so as we can pray for one another and encourage one another and help each other and give, then, you know, you'll be amazed what God will do. You'll see other people grow, and they'll be blessed, and you'll be blessed, you know, and it's just amazing. And so I've had some really tough trials at my work, and Phil says, John, I'm praying for you. And then some of the trials are like, wow, God, you really moved in this nasty trial that it was just stressing me out. And I said, Phil said he was praying for me. So you just don't know what, you know, what God does. So as we, but I think as the beautiful thing, I think in these verses here, it's just relationship in the church. When we are serving the Lord, when we're living for Jesus and trying to glorify him and help the body of Christ, we get blessed. We change, the brethren change, and they grow as you. So last Friday, Jimmy's sister Julie taught the Good Time Learning class, and so I was over there helping out. I was trying to, as I let Jimmy know, I was trying to motivate the people of Good Time Learning to listen. So it was. And it was neat. I was just touched at seeing her teach and all that, these kids. And they're challenging kids to teach, but it was just beautiful to see what God did. And you helped out one time, right? So you know what I'm talking about, right?
For a while.
Yeah. So I think maybe you had better ability than, I don't know, had anybody.
No, you're right.
But it was just beautiful. There was this moment there where they were quiet and listening, and it's like, you know, yeah, we had about 8 minutes where it was just crazy, but now it's 5 minutes where Julie's sharing and they're listening. So it's just, you know, these are things that are just, you know, you can't put a price on, you know, these things that we can see when we serve the Lord. So, and then also the interesting thing, they're in verse 4, the last part of it, it says, salute Epaphroditus, my beloved, who was the first fruits of Asia under Christ. And so, apparently that guy, again, there's a possibility, likely, that Priscilla and Aquila were effective at sharing the gospel with Epaphroditus, and he was the first convert to get saved, I guess, which is like of Asia, which would be north of Greece, I guess. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So in verse 6, he says something very simple. We don't know anything else about this lady, but this right here, it says, salute Mary, who bestowed much labor on you. And this, you know, it's just beautiful. He just acknowledges her service to the Lord, and it's just, it's wonderful. And being in the body of Christ, seeing people selflessly help one another, and I think Josh's mom, she had a wonderful, wonderful testimony. I never met her, but I heard great things, and so it's neat to have people that we can, you know in the body of Christ, current and past, who, you know, had such a great a service to the Lord. And that's really, really neat. So that she gave a great testimony. And again, it's just wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so verse 7. It says, salute Andronicus and
Junias,
right. And my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also have been Christ before me. So the best way to look at this verse is apparently Andronicus and Junias, they were just wonderful, dedicated servants of the Lord. They very likely got saved at Pentecost. And then they went to Rome, and they, you know, likely could have been helped leaders in the Roman church, because they got saved maybe during Peter's. We don't know, but this is just somebody's hypothesis, which, you know, seems likely. They could have got saved during Peter's preaching at Pentecost and been with the church there and went to Rome and found the church there. And so, and then this is part of relationship in the church as we serve the Lord together, as we grow together, pray together, help each other. God does beautiful, wonderful things. So these guys weren't only Paul's kinsmen, fellow Jews. He had a wonderful fellowship with them in common, because apparently they were both spent time in jail as prisoners for Christ, for the gospel. And so, that's heavy. But it's beautiful, you know. I'm sure when they were in jail, they could have been in jail, in the same jail, you know, because they're not. In the book of Acts, it probably doesn't necessarily cover all the times Paul was in jail. Or they could have been in jail in another location, you know, and they could have met each other, and they could have swapped suffering in jail for Jesus stories. So very, you know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so, and these guys, Andronicus and Junias, they were of note among the apostles. And so they just had a wonderful testimony saying, wow, you know, those two brothers in Rome, wow, they serve God and they're building the church and they're strengthening the brethren, and it's neat. And again, this is things that are, again, you get a joy. We get a joy as we serve the Lord. That's, I think, is can't be compared to anything else in this world, as we serve Jesus, as we live for Him. And they got that commendation, you know, by the other apostles. So very, very beautiful, very wonderful. And apparently even these two guys were saved before Paul, which, you know, likely it could be if they got saved when Pentecost, when Peter was preaching. You know, again, we don't know, but that seems possible. So any comments on that before we move on? Yeah, okay. So verse 8, salute Ampelitus, my beloved in the Lord. So, anybody have any thoughts on when Paul says, my beloved in the Lord? What does that kind of tell us? How does he look at these people, these other Christian brothers, this Christian brother?
Close friend.
Yeah. Yeah, but a real, you know, and that's very touching. He says, my beloved in the Lord. Very, very beautiful. And again, by the grace of God, it's just wonderful to be in the church, and our church, and have Christian friends, Christian fellowship, and, you know, we can, you know, having our God increase our love for one another is a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, so in verse 9, Paul says, salute Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. So, these are two guys, and apparently Urbanus, it would not have been unlikely for someone with a name like that to have a nickname of City Boy, because Urbanus is urban. Because we don't know, but that's fairly not an uncommon name for someone whose name is Urbanus, for that Greek name. And also Stachys, a likely nickname for that guy was Ear Horn. So, but just two, you know, kind of interesting. But these two guys, the first guy, Urbanus, was our fellow worker in the Lord. And so, Soon Rome, he just was a servant of the Lord, and it's just a beautiful thing to have that title. And I guess the one thing, when we look at this passage here, we believe that during those days, there was very little unemployment in the Church of God. So if somebody was saved, they were busy for Jesus, serving him. At least these guys were. And that's what we hope, that, you know, today, that all of us can be walking with Jesus, walking in his grace and love, serving him, and by the grace of God, being fully employed in building the church and growing, glorifying Jesus and living for him. So Urbanus definitely was. He was a fellow worker in Christ. And again, Stachys, also my beloved. So very, very beautiful. So seeing that. Verse 10. Salute Apollos, the approved in Christ. Salute them that are the household of Aristobulus. So Apollos was the approved in Christ. So likely this guy went through some really nasty, terrible, horrific trial, and he persevered and was, you know, and it came out of it victorious with a good testimony because he was the approved in Christ. So that could be that. But again, just very, you know, to have the title from the apostle, the approved in Christ, is just a beautiful title to have, and it could likely be that. And apparently, I think everybody, you know, was familiar with his reputation. And it says, of the household of Aristobulus, that likely would mean that these were not necessarily Aristobulus, but people in his household, and which also could mean that these are the slaves of the house. So, and this is kind of a neat thing of the church, is that in the early church back then, you had the rich people who were saved, and you had the common people, and you had the slaves. So, incredible, you know. And so we don't really have much, by the grace of God, we hope we don't have much slaves today. I guess there's the nasty stuff that's happening with it. Slave human trafficking, but back then they had, I guess a third of the Roman Empire was slaves. And so they had, a lot of churches had slaves, the normal working people, and the rich. So, you know, it's just kind of neat that in Christ we can have that commonality. Okay. And then, verse 11, Herodias, Paul calls him my kinsman, another Jewish brother, we understand. And he says also, salute them that are of the household of Narcissus, that are in the Lord. And again, verse 11, the household of Narcissus, again, is likely to be the slave that were in his house, the household that were saved. So in verse 12, we have some ladies identified. And this is after Phoebe was in verse 1 and 2. She was recognized. So Trithenus and Tryphosa. And so, who labor for the Lord, and the first two ladies, and Persis, who labored much for the Lord. So these are all three ladies, and they had a testimony of being great servants of the Lord. So very wonderful. And so, I guess Trithenus and Tryphosa, their Greek names meant dainty and delicate. So, you know, whatever, kind of a neat, every name has a meaning, and that's what their Greek names meant. But even though their names meant dainty and delicate, somebody said they were like iron butterflies serving God. All this grace, as ladies serve the Lord, but they just moved forward and did whatever it took to serve God. And they labored in the Lord, and in Persis apparently labored much in the Lord. This other lady. So, again, it's like this is how the kingdom of God is built. All these people just doing their part in the Church of Rome, serving the Lord, and it's just wonderful. And so, again, let me see, 12. Okay, and also it says the beloved Persis. So I get this one thing I haven't even had. So apparently, Persis was a great servant of the Lord, you know, and labored for the Lord, but I guess the saints, they just loved it. You know, it's just so beautiful. And this is what we want to have in our lives, that God help us to be an encouragement, a source of joy to other believers, that they'll be encouraged to want to serve the Lord more and more. Okay, in verse 13, very interesting, it says, greet Rufus, and a choice man in the Lord. And so, kind of beautiful, kind of a simple thing, but a choice man means a good man for God, a good one of God's men. If you said this guy was a choice man of God, I don't know. It's just a beautiful title that he got from his walk with the Lord. And so that's really beautiful. This guy could have been related to the guy, Simon the Cyrenian, who carried Jesus' cross. We don't know. So, there we, you know, some people have conjectured that, but we just don't know. And the interesting thing is, verse 13, Rufus, his mother, apparently was also kind of adopted Paul. So very beautiful. So, because, you know, we don't know, but at least she really was helpful to Paul and helped him out somehow. And again, and so it's interesting, I guess, she apparently was, it seems like Rufus and his mom were in Rome, but I guess maybe she was praying for Paul and sent him things. We don't know, but so it's very interesting. So, you know, so again, some of these people, Paul, they traveled and Paul met them and they went back to Rome, so we know them personally. And I think Rufus and his mom, I presume they were just stayed in Rome, but he had somehow, despite this great distance from Corinth to Rome, he knew them. He had, you know, I guess maybe they sent letters. Who knows? You know, back then, I guess you could send a letter. And if you sent a letter from Rome to Corinth when he was there, that's, I don't know, a month, 2 months for it to go by boat or whatever. So very, very beautiful. In verse 14, it says, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren that are with them. And these guys, this five people, just had a great commitment to serve the Lord together. So very beautiful. Hopefully, again, we can all have that type of bond to serve Jesus together, to glorify Him. And also in verse 15, there's another five people. So 14, it's fantastic five, and 15, it's fantastic five groupie. And so these people, this has a group of men and women, and very, very wonderful, their testimony. And we don't know them, but again, they did something for Jesus that Paul commended. And again, it should inspire us to say, God, help me have that type of testimony, live that type of life to glorify you. And apparently there was a place of burial on the Appian Way. Some of their names were, many people in this chapter's names were listed here, so that's about it. Any comments? Or?
Verse 16, greet one another with the
brother. I don't know.